The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. I want to talk to us this morning about a man that we unfortunately often refer to as Simon the Sorcerer. And I often wonder why we don't call him Simon the Saint, because he actually became a child of God. The story is found in Acts chapter 8, the book of conversions. Those at Jerusalem had been persecuted, and they had actually been driven out of Jerusalem. And we're told in verse 4 of Acts 8 that they went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to Samaria. And for a long time, the whole town of Samaria had been deceived by a man named Simon. Now, Simon was doing what we would call today illusions or magic tricks. But he wasn't doing them to entertain. He was doing them in order to deceive, in order to make all those at Samaria think that he was some great one of God. But the city, almost wholesale, believed Philip and the message that he had about Jesus the Christ and the salvation that he offered from their sins. And they also saw the great miracles that Philip performed. Evidently, there was a quality about miracles that made it far set apart from any deceptive magic trick that anyone could perform. But then Simon himself, in verse 13, also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, I want to talk to us for just a couple of minutes this morning about Simon the sorcerer. And I want us to notice three things here about Simon. In the first place, consider his faith. His faith. Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Now we notice, first of all, how he received his faith. Now he received his faith not because God miraculously zapped it into his heart. He didn't receive his faith because he was in some tragic accident and survived. He didn't receive his faith through some life-changing experience. He received his faith by simply hearing the gospel. In verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ." This is how people receive faith, by hearing the gospel. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why Jesus sent his disciples out into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16, 15, because they needed to hear it. This is how they would have faith or develop faith in their hearts. And oh, how we need to learn the importance here of spreading the gospel to our friends, to our neighbors, throughout the world. We need to preach the word because it produces faith in the heart of the unbeliever. But notice not only how Simon received his faith, but also how he responded to his faith. Verse 13, it says, "Then Simon himself also believed, and was he when he was baptized." He responded to his belief with baptism. Now the Lord had said in Mark 16, 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And here we have that exemplified in Simon. He believed, and he responded by being baptized. His was an obedient faith. And that's the only kind that saves, my friend. You can't be saved through faith alone. You must act on that faith. You must obey the Lord if you want eternal salvation. That's what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. And talking about Jesus, he said, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Doesn't say to all who faith only him. It says he's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We must obey. In Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias came to Saul, who we know also as Paul, the great apostle. And he said to him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Now, if the remission of sins comes at the point of faith, then Saul wouldn't need to arise and be baptized. His sins would have already been gone. But he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. So clearly, it is baptism, that great act of obedience, that connects our sins with the precious blood of Christ, which then washes them away. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. So I want us to see not only the faith of Simon, but I also want us to see his fall. Simon was caught in sin as a Christian. He was actually tempted to commit sin, and his soul was in danger. Verses 18 of Acts 8. It says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Some of the old Simon was creeping back in. Oh boy, he thought, I'd love to be able to do that trick. I'd love to be able to lay hands on folks and to impart to them the ability to perform miraculous spiritual gifts. And he said, give me this power also. He said this to the apostles, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. And so we see here that not only was Simon caught in sin, but he was condemned by his sin. Look again at verse 20. Peter said to him, your money perish. Now underscore that word perish. And then he said, with you. Now the you here is Simon. The one that verse 13 said had believed and was baptized. He had become a Christian. And now Peter said he was going to perish. Now, my friend, please don't let anyone deceive you into believing that once you become a child of God, you can never so sin as to lose that salvation. That's an old doctrine, and it is a false doctrine. The Bible teaches us very clearly that it is possible for one to fall from grace and lose his soul, as Simon did here. Paul told those Judaizers in the book of Galatians, these people who were trying to go back to the Old Testament and to impose its laws and its commandments on the Gentile Christians, he told them in Galatians 5 and verse 4, you are fallen from grace. So they were in grace, and now they had fallen from grace. It is possible to fall from grace, my friends. Look at James 5, verse 19 and 20. James says, brethren, if anyone among you, that is, among the brethren, among those who are Christians, he said, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, a Christian can wander from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. And so when he wandered from the truth, his soul was in jeopardy. His soul had died. He had went back into error. He had went back into sin. And his soul had died. And so the one who turns him back to the truth will, as James said, save a soul from death. And so it is essential that when we become a child of God, we don't allow ourselves to go back into sin, because that sin will condemn our souls, even though we had already been saved. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Now, how could the latter end be worse than the beginning if they were still saved? No. When one is caught up again in the pollutions of sin, he loses his soul. In fact, Peter goes on to talk about how it's like a dog returning to his own vomit, one of the most disgusting analogies that you can imagine. That's what it's like when a Christian goes back into the pollution of sin. When a Christian leaves the Lord and once again begins to serve Satan. My brethren, we need to increase our faith. The Lord said in Revelation 2:10 that we must be faithful unto death. That's right. We must serve the Lord faithfully till we die. In Hebrews 2, the Hebrew writer warns us against drifting away from our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. In Hebrews 3:12-14, he talks about how a Christian can develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. In verse 14, he says, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We must hold our faith. We must remain faithful. And my friends, don't let the devil deceive you. Because when the devil makes you think that you can't fall, you will fall. And you'll lose your sin. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We need to concentrate on praying and on worshiping God and on pursuing holiness and righteousness so that we may be faithful to the Lord till death. So let us notice not only Simon's faith, and not only do we see his fall, but we also see his forgiveness. You see, the Bible teaches something called the second law of pardon. The first law of pardon is for the sinner who is outside of Christ. He must hear the gospel, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24, repent of his sins, Acts 2:38, confess his faith in Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized to have his sins washed away, Acts 22:16, that he may be saved, Mark 16:16. But then, as a Christian, when one sins, he can return to the Lord. But penitence is necessary. Peter told Simon here in Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So we must repent of our sin. When we sin as a Christian, we must repent of it. And that repentance is exemplified by confession. John told Christians in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we, as a child of God, when we sin, the door is not shut forever. Our souls are in jeopardy, but we can once again have salvation if we will repent of that sin. But not only is penitence necessary, but prayer was necessary for Simon's forgiveness. Peter told him to repent, and he also told him to pray, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And so again, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, my dear friends, as children of God, when we give in to the temptation of the devil, let's not lose all hope. Because if we'll go to God with penitent hearts, and if we'll repent of that sin, and if we'll confess that we've sinned, and we'll pray to God and ask him to forgive us of our sins, once again, he will forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, there's so much that we can learn from Simon, often known as Simon the Sorcerer, but also known as Simon the Saint. And we learn from his faith. He received it by hearing. We see how he responded to it with obedience by being baptized to have his sins washed away. Not only his faith, but we see his fall. As a Christian, he was caught in sin, and he was condemned by that sin. A Christian can fall and sin in such a way as to lose his eternal salvation. And we see also his forgiveness. When a child of God falls, when a child of God stumbles, it's not a hopeless situation. One can return to the Lord. If we will repent of our sins, if we will have the humility to do that, and have the humility to confess that sin to others, and especially to God, and pray and ask God to forgive us, the Bible promises us, God promises us, that once again he will forgive us of our sin, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. May your faith be strong in the Lord as you faithfully strive to obey him till death. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.